Gani, everyone. This is Professor Amin-Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University of Long Beach, former city councilman for the city of Compton, former Compton College Board of Trustees, and former Compton Unified School District Board of Trustees, and one of the co-founders of the Black World Institute, along with Asar Jabal. Just want to welcome you here to the Conscious Corner, where we talk about actual facts about Black. And we got to talk about a checkup from the neck up, the importance of thinking and analyzing what's going on in the world. Some people act like ain't nothing going on, and then tell some grab them. But we want to welcome you here to this show and all the participants. We got Brother Ernest McBride, a historical archive for his father, Ernest McBride Sr., a longtime activist in Long Beach, one of the pioneers of the civil rights movement in Long Beach, in this club, his father. But Ernest, by right, was knowledgeable, served in the service, and at the same time, doing heroic things with taking care of his wife and his grandchildren and doing the best he can to make life better for them. We got Brother Ahi from Detroit, longtime activist, strategist, deep thinker, and he gives nothing but courageous questions when we have discussions here on the Conscious Corner. We have Brother Mashinda, straight out of Louisiana. And that's the major trial that's going on, the Supreme Court's supposed to rule on that case that was brought by Louisiana State challenging racial voting, gutting the Civil Rights Bill, if that come about. And then we have someone on the cell phone. I'm not sure who that is.
They can identify themselves. iPhone user, do you want to identify yourself, please? Unmute. Guess they'd be an incognito.
Well,
but they can sit in.
I know Miss Rainey was on for a minute. And then Brother Rashiki Muscani, who's responsible for the Conscious Corner, as well as Community Education Network, who put this program together. What year is this, Brother Rashiki? How long we been on?
We are on December 10th. We have our fifth anniversary show of the CEN show.
5 years.
So, oh, yeah. Well, so we're over 5 years posting on YouTube interviews and various other subjects.
We want to thank Brother Rashiki for all he do to educate our people and to get them conscious of what's going on in the world. Brothers and sisters, we in what we call demanding, difficult, and dangerous times as we deal with this era of the Trump administration and as we deal with what's going on in the world. Right now in Jamaica, they're having one of the worst hurricanes in the history of that island. It's on its way to Cuba and the Bahamas. Winds and rain over 185 miles an hour due to climate change, which people are in denial who don't have good sense, in my opinion. And then at the same time, we're dealing with a president that has developed his own police department using the army, going into every major city where mostly African Americans and Latinos live, talking about he's trying to bring what he called make it a safe city. And using American troops, which is supposed to be against the law, against the Constitution, to bring about that so-called safe city by arresting and just people think he got a hidden agenda. And then we got issues with regards to just shooting people out the water. Shooting people out the water in Venezuela, ocean, not even nowhere close to the United States, saying that they're bringing drugs in little boats, little motorboats. You know what I mean? And there's a challenge, no serious challenge except for maybe Ron Paul and a few other people are questioning it, but not no out and out condemnation. Excuse me. So we're in challenging times, dangerous times, and we got to discuss these issues because that's how we educate our people on these type of platforms and try to wake them up based on the conditions that we're living in, but also based upon the insight, hindsight, and foresight many of the people on the panel have. So I'm going to just try to engage everybody and see what they think about these times. I call them difficult, dangerous, and demanding times. Ernest, what would you call these times, and how do you think we can get more of a movement, rebuild a conscious movement that people want to know what's going on? We got many of our people that the most important thing to them is sports or some type of recreational, or, I mean, a theme park or some casino and things of this nature that preoccupies them. But what do you think about what's going on, Ernest? I mean, how do you see the bombing, the shooting of people out of the ocean? 57 people have been killed.
That's a violation of like the War Act. I mean, he's going out there, essentially he's attacking, you know, another nation, people, and then claiming, well, they were doing drugs. Well, where's the evidence? Every time when you're in an authority like that and you catch the crook, you're supposed to show something, the reason you did that. He hadn't shown nothing. The only one thing they come up with was that one with a couple of guys survived, and one of the guys was a fisherman. They didn't find no kind of drugs, but see, our problem now is we got a guy in here in office. He's a habitual liar, because I have never heard him say anything, you know, carry on any kind of conversation where he didn't lie or exaggerate something. And that's what made me fell out with him in the beginning. Even though I might be a different party, or you could be in my party, but when you sit up and lie to the public, you know, with a straight face, and then somebody challenging, and you may, and you treat them as enemies. I mean, he's, you know, all the thing, he's acting like a mafia hood is what the guy's doing, because somebody go against him, and then he try to find something on them to ruin their lives. And I don't know that, because everybody I talk to, boy, nobody's for what he's doing. And then I watched this IHIP podcast. These two women come on. I mean, man, they telling everything he's doing and what the plan on. And I used to argue with my daughter. Now, he's not that smart to be doing a lot of these things he's doing. So somebody's guiding him, and they pumped him up. They just needed a puppet to get in there to put forth their plan. So I don't know, some of these multi-billionaire families, they, you know, the rumor is that some of them was behind this. and they just needed a puppet to get in there and to do what they say, and then they found one. So.
Well, there are things we can do. We can write to our congressmen and encourage them to speak out about it. We can write to our various organizations like the NAACP and others to speak out about it and demand answers. And then at the same time, talk about impeachment. I mean, that's one thing. Brother Ali, how you feel about that?
That should definitely be in the conversation.
Brother Ali, you there?
Yes, I am.
Now,
How's
man,
everybody
first of
this evening,
all,
Professor Rock?
it's good to hear your voice, Ali.
Thank
Amen.
you, thank you. It's good to hear and be in your presence again when you share your wisdom and your knowledge. And as far as this Venezuela kind of deal, just watching Democracy Now, and Rubio, who is one of his minions, one of the president's minions, has this plan. His ultimate goal is to destabilize Cuba and to gain influence in that government. And he's trying to show the president that it can be done by destabilizing Venezuela and taking control of that oil, which would give them much more influence on Cuba and the Caribbean. And they're maniacs. But that's one of the reasons they're dealing down in Venezuela. But this evening's topic about dangerous times for our people here in North America, there's a direct assault on any programs that are affiliated with Black folk or that benefit Black people and others. We've in the last few months we've gone back to Plessy and Ferguson. They're talking about no segregated facilities. Segregated facilities are no longer banned in federal contracts. They're talking about firing hundreds of thousands of government employees, and that's where a lot of our people are employed, our intelligentsia are employed by the government, along with local programs that are happening on the municipal level. People are not eating. It's an all straight out economic war on us. DEI, 2025, these things are real, and we're going to start feeling the effect November 1st, even though there are more white people that get food assistance. There are a larger percentage of our people who get food assistance, and we're talking about working people who are full-time workers but could really use that assistance because the wages are not enough. So I mean, I know we self-segregate. Black people want to be around Black people. Some white people obviously want to be around other white people, Arab communities, Asian communities even. But I don't think changing this law is going to be of any benefit to our people, and it's a direct assault
Well,
on our
so
people.
like you said, that the majority of people that get food assistance is white. Majority of people on welfare are white. The majority of people on getting SNAP food stamps are white. And the majority of the people getting fired are white. If Amazon's laying off thousands of people, and then they say this other company I think UPS is laying off 100,000 people or more, 40,000, 50,000 people. White. And I'm not defending white people. Excuse me. But at the same time, Trump numbers is not going down. I mean, they're down, but they're not like tanking. You know, right. So it got to be a race issue in there somewhere. As long as he's attacking Latinos and picking up blacks and Latinos and deporting them, seems like white folks say, I don't care if I don't eat.
Yeah.
I don't care if I don't have no welfare. But we'll get back to that. Brother Mashinda, you there?
Yeah, good evening.
Yeah, brother, what do you think about these shooting people out the water?
Oh, man, the game is rigged. That's all. It's by design, you know. And so that's just part of the design, you know, part of what the brothers were saying, what you've been talking about. You know, it's the plan is in play. You know, he's the talking head. You know, he's the ambassador, the spokesperson. You know, somebody has to be the MC. But you know, at the end of the day, if they're doing a full court press, you know, and thing about it is, you know, you guys play basketball. You know, what do you got to do when they're doing a full court press on you? You know, so that's it. So if you could figure that out, you'll figure out the solution, you know, to the, in other words, you're outnumbered, you know. I mean, you can, things as far as getting people together, man, so you're talking to people all the time, you know, people, they have different perspectives, you know, as far as how they think things should be. You know, and they instead of them being, you know, critical thinkers, you know, they listen to a talking head. You know, they have so many different podcasts and different media platforms and things like that. So people adopt the beliefs and from, you know, just from what they hear without, and I'm not saying that people don't understand, but a lot of times you can become conditioned, you know, brainwashed, and not realize that you're under the influence, you know. And so that's what it appears to be when you have, when I have conversations with folks. I don't profess to know everything, you know, but I'm, you know, still trying to pay attention, still trying to learn. But there's a lot of folks that are in survival mode that they're not even having the conversation. And so there are, you know, but there are some who actively engage, but on a majority standpoint, you know, it's, if you talk to 10 people, and I'm saying me, I talk to 10 people, maybe one and a half, maybe two might, you know, you can go a little further, which is, you know, people say, well, one's better than nothing or whatever, but nah, when you look at it from on the aggregate, you know, exponentially, that's nothing, you know. And just people are, I, you know, I'm not being negative either. We say, oh, they're unconcerned. They unconcerned, but for a reason, you know, because they got their mind on something else, you know, their immediate situation. So what's happening globally and locally and you know, statewide in the country and so forth, they might hear certain current events on the news. They might have heard about something. But the majority of them don't understand it, you know, they don't. And so we, all we have to do is keep doing what we do, try to, you know, inform, you know, educate, you know. So once they become informed, educated to a point to where then they may be, you know, want to become part of a better, you know, movement or some kind of, you know, to try to move to the positive, you know. But right now, they're, like I say, they're unraveling a lot of the things that, you know, these rights that, you know, Voting Rights Act, you take race out of it, you know, that's it. It's checkmate, you know, because back to doing our old business. You know, well, not back to doing it, but pretty much turning it up. You know, they're gonna turn it up. They're gonna turn up the volume on it. And I mean, he tells you when I'm talking about Trump. He tells you that and I don't care. I'm gonna bring the military. I may bring the all out army to Chicago or wherever, you know, New York or wherever the next movement is going for them in terms of the ICE and the all of that. But he's talking about putting the regular army, you know, in the neighborhoods and things like that. He said, don't count it out, you know. And he said, a lot of people, even if they don't like it, so what? That's basically what he said, and you know, I'm just paraphrasing. So, but he basically don't care. He don't care what you think. And so the leaders that we have, you know, I'm sure some of those guys, some of those folks, they're just not going to get the airtime because, you know, guess who owns the media? You know, so we have to triangulate and seek out news sources that you know, we feel that our spirit will interpret and deem as true, versus just being bombarded with a lot of, you know, things that are not healthy for our mind, you know, for our sanity, you know. So, but again, you know, so it's a work in progress, and I don't think I have any more to say other than you know, just keep fighting, keep you know, stay in motion.
Yeah, it seems as if, well, let me get to Arashiki. What's your perspective?
It's a few things. Look like the plans are in motion for a lot of destabilization. When you destabilize, then people are like in survival mode. And when they're in survival mode, then they tend not to be politically active, or you know, they're just trying to survive. You have a lot of mind control. You know, people are very susceptible to their environments. So if they're, you know, you have all these people involved in things that are unhealthy, and you know, they think it's the thing to do. You have all kinds of things that people are doing that don't make any sense. And then you have people just in the hustle and bustle, day-to-day living. And so when you think about it, what can you do? We're doing what we think that we could do to inform, because we have brilliant thinkers here, and we have, you know, a tremendous amount of guests that come on and give real good information. So you once I don't know if we're going to be affected to the point where that'll put us in total survival mode, but we do have to think about how we're going to live the rest of our days and the best way we can. So it's a challenge, like it's always been a challenge. So you know, whatever they're doing is to destabilize. Hitting those boats over there, they're trying to, like Ernest was saying, they're trying to get to other countries, and you know, they're just doing, and somebody mentioned, I think it was Ahi or Brother Mashinda, where you have these people, I mean, you have people in the that's puppet masters that's pulling the string, and they just put Trump out there because Trump is crazy. So he'll do whatever. He'll say whatever, because all he think about is his money, and he narcissistic. So it's just like you said, troubling times. But how it's it it as far as I know, it's always been that way. It's just more overt now, and then you're able to contact more people. More people could, if they just look, they can see it. So a lot. There's a lot going on.
Well, it make you feel like there's so much going on that you don't know which front to go on to fight, and you seem like it's helpless. And what Trump is not just Trump. People think it's just Trump, but he has consolidated all branches of government behind him, from the Supreme Court, which is a judicial branch of government, and the Congress, which is the Senate and the Congress, that's behind him, and the executive branch. And all three of them supposed to be checks and balances on each other. And they're all behind him, granting him immunity, not speaking out against nothing he does. No matter how you say it's not him, you see that he creates so much confusion. Like, he have you putting out fires all over the place that you don't know which fire to go to. From the standpoint of using the military in cities, to the standpoint of bombing people out the ocean, from the standpoint of shutting down the government, from the standpoint of, you know, all the various things he does. And people act like he don't know what he's doing, but he does know what he's doing. All the money his family has taken, saying he needs $253 million because y'all falsely charged me with stuff. And he wanted to get, he put his people in position to sign it over the Justice Department as a settlement. So you can say, well, it ain't him, it's not him. But I think it is him, personally, along with the ability to buy the Supreme Court and to intimidate Congress and to hire loyalists in his executive branch. That is not an accident. You understand? That's some serious stuff, brother, sister. That you sit around and think about it.
Back off.
Yeah, I'm on the Zoom, and so we have to think about how did we deal with this. I mean, he said something that was very important. I don't know if y'all caught it. That his whole goal was to destabilize Cuba by getting all the countries that support Cuba. Invading them and cutting off oil and cutting off. That's how Cuba survived, because of the boycott of the United States and the sanctions. That's how Cuba survived. And if he can cut off their support, they've been hating Cuba for years. So that'd be the issue. And my point to us is that we can't say we can't do nothing. If we just think about even a little bit of things that we do, help the struggle. And this is why I say we can write letters to our congressperson and Senate to do more, especially those that are Democrats. And even if it's just a short postcard, we can go to their town hall meetings and ask them, why aren't you fighting more? And why aren't you raising these questions, the ones that we have? Second, that, you know, we can talk about impeachment, and we can talk about the concept of registering our family members and friends and neighbors so that the next election, we can get people in there that would do the things that we want to do. Now, in New York, they're trying to bring a mayor into the picture of New York, a Muslim, and people are, them attacking him, and things of this nature, but he's still ahead. And he's talking radical reform, that free bus rides and cutting down on rent moratoriums. And the people are getting behind that kind of talk. But we don't see the local politicians talking like that. They think they have to go middle of the road because of the voting patterns in urban areas. But New York's an urban area. So we got to look. And so the struggle continues. And this is why Malcolm said we have to fight on all fronts, political, economical, and social, as well as educational, because of the need for us as a people to do our part. And don't say we can't do nothing. You know, that's like people saying we can't do nothing about slavery, but some of us did, and that's why we out. We couldn't do nothing about Jim Crow, but we broke it down and got the Civil Rights Bill in 1965 and things of this nature. Yeah, they crack back, and they resist, and they start COINTELPRO, but as long as you're fighting, you have not lost the war. So the checkup from the neck up is that we have to use our minds and creativity. People don't like to get involved because it's like people that don't like to help the police when something's going on in the neighborhood. And they don't want to be labeled as a snitch. And the same thing as a pro-police person. But at the same time, you want your neighborhood safe. Here you are in this country, which is a challenge in itself, being here, recognizing that the Native American, this is really his land, but at the same time, we've been here over hundreds of years, and we help build it now. And the struggle, we support the Native American. But at the same time, they have to stand up for their rights also. Some of them are, some of them not. But we have to stand up for our rights and our opportunity to make a better life for our children coming behind them. Most of our children think life is just hunky-dory, as long as they got a job, as long as they can go to Disneyland, Magic Mountain, and things of this nature. But we have to have more family meetings to discuss politics with the family members that's willing to listen. You don't have to worry about the ones that ain't going to listen. As all y'all said, they got other things on their mind. And we've always had that problem. It's not the ones that don't listen. It's the ones that that listen, that you talk to, and those that you can encourage to be more active. Like this Proposition 50 to offset Texas gerrymandering. I mean, we have to get people to vote for that. And, you know, but at the same time, we think if we vote, that's enough. Well, you got to get more than just you. You got to get as many people as you can. But at the same time, we're in this struggle of uplifting the conscience of our people and their struggle. But it's not that easy. It's not that easy because of the monopoly the people have on our people's mind. The euphoria, the sugar, the salt that they got hooked on. You know, there's more people lined up to get a McDonald's burger than they are lined up to vote. There's more people lined up to, you know, get tickets to see Beyonce, and they don't even have the money, but they pay $400-$500 for a ticket. Just to go and hear somebody sing, you can get their CD for $10. It's a checkup from the neck up, you know. It's a struggle on that behalf. But at the same time, when we say we're in difficult time, the difficult time is to educate our people. We send them to schools to get educated. And when they get educated, they're being educated by people that don't love them. Many of the black teachers were educated by white people. I mean, when I started teaching black studies, and I started teaching in a black way, made up our own rules that go with the conditions of our people. Most black professors taught it the way white folks taught them. That they'll make it black studies then. Well, I have the power and the freedom to do it your way, and you still doing it the way, as Roger Key would say, the oppressor didn't taught you. I mean, I've seen them flunk black people. Flunk them. You know, give them a F. You know, and I've seen them put so much work on them, you know, that they drop out the class. You know, because those that are in those positions sometimes don't realize the power they have and their ability to uplift their people, and that they have the power to keep them in school and to keep them their financial aid going, and they'll flunk them out. So the struggle continues in many ways, but the struggle's not over. You understand? And you can't feel helpless, as Machinda said. You talk to 10 people, you may get one. Even though that's just a small number, at least it's one. And you keep on pushing. And you hope that one will get one out of 10 he talked to. And you keep on pushing and pushing and pushing. All right? So in response, Brother Ernest? Ernest, you okay? Is he froze, Rasha Key?
I don't think so. Ernest.
Yeah.
He is taking a little nap.
Oh, okay. I don't blame you. I do the same thing, brother, all the time.
Yeah.
Okay. What about you? What strategies you think could be used in the struggle?
Well, first thing, having access to the information. Mm-hmm. And I think it's not enough to educate the children, that the parents need to be educated right along with the children.
Mm-hmm.
We need all the allies that we can have. It all starts with the knowledge, Professor, as you have said over and over again. You have to have knowledge of self, have to be up on current events and see the cycles that happen. Just like on the stock market, you can see the cycle. Well, if you know your history and what's happening currently, you can see the cycle. And okay. It seems like we're going through the same stuff over and over again. We got to break the vicious cycle. So, and that starts with education.
Right. Yeah, education, mobilization, organization, and confrontation and transformation. That's what we teach in Calrita. But at the same time, I've been black studies professor and all that. Even my kids around me, they're aware of what I'm about and where of my struggles, but they still drift off into Europeanism and white people mentality at times. They want to look like them. They want to act like them. They want to do crazy things, put tattoos on, grown men with diamonds in their ears like girls. You see the baseball players, the black players got big old studs in their ears. That's what women are.
Ponytails, Afro puffs.
And then they wearing necklaces in the football game, big dick chain while they're running the ball. I mean, it's just crazy. You understand? And wearing
meat it's a different
in
image.
The game.
Because like I was telling you earlier.
And that takes our kids' minds off things. But at the same time, we can't give up on the kids. And this is why when we have the opportunity, we have to go into what they would call sacred teachings of the mystery system and know how to teach it covertly without them being able to go back and say you're teaching racism or you know, you're asking them to do something they don't want to do. You just got to just drop lugs and just give them incentives to think for themselves, as Malcolm and even Martin Luther King said that. You have to think. So, you know.
Professor?
Yes.
They're capitalists. Our young people, they're capitalists. And it's all about them getting that dollar, and for those who never really had it, and they get it, showing you that I got it. They're a whole different culture. It's not the we anymore. Unless it's what can you do for me, that's a we. But it's a me. They hating on each other. We not uplifting each other. No original ideas. Everybody doing the same thing. If there is an original idea, everybody else is copying it. It's they're not they don't care about no original thinking. They want that get that money.
Yeah,
they're
but
capitalists.
There are groups like we have a brother that comes on the show, a job. They're working with you. Stop the Violence, Increase the Peace is working with you. There are a lot of groups trying. But this system has money to pay them not to listen to us and give them incentives not to listen to us and to subliminally absorb them into Americanism, some of our kids. We got young people that are teaching hard and that are trying to wake up other young people. You got young Black people having voter registration drive. You got young Black people that are getting older, again about stopping gun violence. You got different organizations that do different things, and so you know there are some young people that are conscious.
No question.
That's
no
my
question.
Point. Not all of them are capitalists. Not all of them are into Americanism. Some of them come on this show and on our show, Conscious Going to Art, Community Education Network, and they talk about health, they talk about their challenge with spirituality, and they talk about the need for us to come together. But at the same time, the system makes you think you're not making no progress and there's no hope. When there is people struggling and trying to wake up the people. There are a lot of Black people going to Africa, going to different areas to make a better life. And that's a beautiful thing. You know? So in some ways. Brother Mashinda, you there?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Brother Mashinda, how are they dealing with this civil rights thing of the Supreme Court in Louisiana? Is there any movement?
No, not really. It's not, like I say, there are people that are, you know, again, conscious. But as far as a movement going on there's no major movement going on at all. No.
Well, there are people that's lining up to be at
Hello?
the Supreme Court.
They're what?
They're planning to go to the Supreme Court the day they're supposed to
Oh,
rule.
yeah. Yeah, I'm sure they'll, you know, that'll happen. But I'm saying as far as, you know, you kind of nip it at the lower end, you know, it's reached to this point, you know, that while people is sleep at the wheel, they getting away with this kind of thing. And so the Supreme Court is leaning toward removing that race clause. So, and, you know, it's part of the agenda.
But at the same time, Cindy, you know, the South has always been a challenge for us, even though the majority of Black people live in the South. And, you know, but a lot of our progress was based on the Southern movement, with Martin Luther King then. But at the same time, it's very difficult when you have the degree of poverty in the South. Like, their welfare system is different from city systems. And they really believe in work. You don't get no help unless you work. And they really put oppression on the history in Texas and in Louisiana, Mississippi, New Orleans, and Alabama, and South Carolina, and all those places. So it's a challenge. But at the same time, some of our major struggles come out of those areas. But at the same time, it appears and makes people think there ain't nobody doing nothing because it's not on the news every day or what they're doing. Or it's not in a situation where we can really find out what's going on with the progress and with the struggle. It's complicated. I understand, Machinda. A lot of people know, but they act like they don't know because they don't know who they're talking to, and they're scared, or they think that there'll be backlash if they express how they think. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, if they have something, you know, if they have stake in something, or, you know, something of value to them, yeah, they're going to protect their interests, you know, first. Self-preservation. They're not going to, you know, sacrifice their, you know, their value, what they consider as value to them. I mean, and you got some who have, like you was mentioning, yeah, they had a lot of things going in over time, and, you know, that kind of thing. But a lot of the, I don't know, you have layers of, so say you have the people who try to get in office on the local level and try to make some kind of positive change for the betterment of Black people in particular, you know, because in the South, there's a lot of, you know, misappropriation of funds and things like that in terms of, you know, equitable, you know, shares of, you know, like the tax base and things like that, you know, what, you know, street lights, you know, in your neighborhood, just basic things, basic necessities and things like that that we contribute to. There's always been that structure, you know, like the one in trying to deplete, you know, our resources, you know, or, you know, not even be concerned about our plight or our direction or whatever. No interest in what we're doing. We have to have interest in ourselves. But what it is, it seemed like over years, what's been developed is a few layers of our own people that fight against our own struggle, you know, and that has to be examined, you know, that I run into people that are detrimental to the struggle that look like you or me, you know, and how do you resurrect that? You know, how do you change that? Do you have time to change that? You know,
but is leadership a problem? A lot of people.
Yeah, leader, leader, Leadership. There's leaders. There's all kind of people that'll take a lead as far as, but I'm saying is, the design of, and I'm just looking at a few microcosms that I've been paying attention to in these local areas where, you don't have, like, say, for instance, there was a time where, if the black person running, everybody galvanizing and gravitate toward that, and let's hold them accountable, and let's do some things for blacks, but I'm saying you got some blacks working for the whites, so the whites know how to get the black in there. He could be black, but he's in there to counter your production, and what you got going on. I see it all the time. It's amazing how they align with the, the enemy. That's what they
Oh,
do.
yeah. You got
So that's
to
what so that's what I'm saying. It's I think it's thicker now, It's thicker, So gotta be careful out that jungle, man. You don't know what might bite you out there.
It's
That's a
like
good point. Go
earlier
ahead, Ernest.
about the with most of our youth, it's about the money. If they're getting paid well, they don't, they don't really care, because I have a hard time. We did a voter registration here this past week, and is the food giveaway line. We had the NAACP table set up there, and all Proposition 50. Data there, and say, if you want to know why we're doing that, we'll explain it. I went to this one woman's first coming, and she didn't want to take the flyer. So it took me 30 minutes arguing with her. I said, because you see this free food that you get in today? She said, yeah, had a basket, it was loaded with stuff. I said, what do you think the funding and stuff for these, food giveaway programs that we have in here, and you have a president here that's trying to get rid of that. So, because next year you've been here several years. She said, yeah, I come here. It's my fifth
Hello.
or sixth year. I said, well, if you don't vote yes on 50, you cutting your own throat, because the program probably won't be here next year. At the rate this guy's cutting programs and stuff. So yeah, she kind of got the message then. Then she wanted to take the flyer, but I kind of see that like my dad. Every year I participate in registering people, and it's like that. They still think, oh, my one vote don't matter. And I say it does matter, So some people, you just have to, I don't know. It'll catch on, but it looks like
Yeah,
the
but you converted one person. That was good.
Huh?
You could you converted a person that wasn't interested, and that's a good thing. And that's the persistent
Because afterward,
struggle that we're in.
he thought about it and said, well, you're right. I said, because that's why we're able to do it. The church is able to, and the minister's wife was out there, said, that's why they're able to do this for you every week. Every week, a few free food giveaway. And where do you think that funding comes from? From programs that are being cut if you don't go to that ballot box and vote in your own interest.
Yeah, well, that's a good education there, but I appreciate that. Since he had to de dealing with the struggle in Detroit.
It's not so at the moment, it's not so evident. It's just a little simmering. It hasn't really hit yet. It's not going to hit really, I think, till probably next week, when people don't get their food stamps or supplemental food stamps, or whatever else government programs they have been cut that they're not going to get. And then it's going to be a little longer. Government workers, that aren't getting paid. And even some of those TSA workers, they get food stamps. Government TSA workers that don't have enough, but don't make enough money on their jobs, a lot of them have to get supplemental food stamps. So it's It's just simmering right now. So,
well, rent's so high now, it's hard to have money for food.
That's true.
But a lot of people, they don't even eat at home, a lot of people. You know, they eat at fast food places and, you know, eat on the way home. And, you know, it's sad because they save a lot of money if they cook. You know, if they cook, you cook their dinner that morning, so when you get home, it'll be ready. But they don't want to get up, some people. So it's a challenge. And listen, we've been in this struggle for years. We know how difficult it is. But we have to continue the struggle for our people and for our future. And we got to continue. Don't get disheartened. Don't get, you know, think about the progress that you make rather than the regress people want you to think about. It's not easy to take it upon yourself to try to contribute to the betterment of people other than yourself. Many of us, you know, we could commit class suicide and just live our lives out the way it is in comfort. But we chose to get involved and try to educate and try to make a difference for the young people in the future, even though many young people won't even struggle for themselves. You know, and that's what happens. And then you got to deal with the role of the church that is the what they call the gospel of prosperity versus the gospel of justice, freedom, and love, and a sense of, you know, a mission to carry out to make the earth better and to make life better for everybody that you come in contact with. That's what praying for everybody is about. But at the same time, you know, you help some people that you don't appreciate. They want you to say thank you. They just take what you help them with and move on. And some even go out and marry white women and white men and live a different life. But you're not worried about them. You're worried about you. You support the ones that took the message and did something positive with it. And that's the key to it. Rasha Key, you have a comment?
Yes. You know what I always, well, I used to tell my students a lot. I used to tell them, what's better than, you know, strengthening your mind, learning, and what's better than learning? You know, I used to tell them, it's real good to come and develop your mind and get better mentally. I used to always tell them that because, you know, it's like, I tell them, like, there's nothing better that I could do than what I'm doing, teaching and learning. So, you know, like you said, you have to, you can't give up. And then also, as long as you're fighting, you ain't defeated. That's very important. You know, it's psychological tidbits that helps people to think about what they really need to be doing. And I find that in a lot of the encouragements that's provided on this platform, especially by you, Professor Ra, and, you know, and the other people who comes on a consistent basis. We just have to keep doing what we're doing and stay strengthened.
You know, used to say that wherever your buddy is, your mind took it there. And you know, this is why we said check up from the neck up. Thinking, trying to get them to think, trying to get them to come to their own conclusion, to get involved. You know, you don't get upset if they're not involved. That's their decision. But you just give them enough information that if they want to get involved, like Ernest can tell people where the historical society is meeting and encourage them to come and listen. That's a step. The same thing with he in Detroit and Mashinda in the South. The South is a little bit of a different animal because they rough out there. But in the urban area, we have a shot. So I feel good about the movement because I see us building Black United Front. Million people marched on No Kings, and people are not even talking about it. You know, 7 million people marched No Kings. And it was a cross section of people. There are other demonstrations that are planned. There are people in Chicago fighting the police about their arrests and about their heavy handedness with the National Guard. There's resistance. But because Trump got the headline, you know, he'll go to a naval base, talk to the people, put the soldiers behind him. And talk about how great he is and what he done did. And he ain't did none of the things he said he did.
I know.
You know, he ain't did none of them.
That's it.
So we got to continue the struggle and let those that want to sit behind him and believe him, believe him. You know, our struggle is continuous. It's long and protracted. It may not happened in our lifetime, but we can say we made a commitment to that struggle. So, Rasha Key, what we got tomorrow?
Let me tell you. And see, we're speaking of, we said something about, you know, younger people. We have a guy coming on tomorrow. Let me see. Let me get this. What's going on with my? There it is. Stop sharing. Let me pull it back up. I met this young brother right here. Let me get this thing clear. His name is Daryl Brooks, a licensed clinical social worker, and he's a young man compared to us, probably in his 30s, and he's coming on to talk about mental health and men's wellness. So we steady reaching out to people to get people to come on and share what they're doing and their expertise, and he's one of them. I met him at the gym playing basketball, and we got to talking, and I found out what he did. I said, come and be on the show, and he said, sure, I'll do it. So that's what we have on tomorrow, Daryl Brooks. Licensed clinical social worker.
All right. I think we're going to have this brother named Jamal Allen, who just became an attorney next Tuesday. And hopefully he'll be here to talk
so
about
too.
Young people. He's young, just graduated, yeah. Got his law degree, and talk about the things he's doing in Colorado and around the country as far as organizing. All right.
All right. So.
It'll be recorded, though, right? Because I'm going to have to miss that. I got to go to Dad's high school and do some Halloween giveaways for the kids.
Yeah, okay. Everything will be on the YouTube channel, and the audio will be on the website. But yeah, so each one teach one in Conscious Corner. Everybody continue to have a good day.
Take care.